Peter, would you like to come? That was just a beautiful time of worship. Thank you for leading us into that stillness, that quietness, that presence of an Almighty God. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are the one that really matters, that you're the one that cheers us on when we're in our darkest moment. You're the one that smothers us in love when we think that we've failed. You're the one, Lord, that picks us up, bandages us up, touches our innermost being in only a way that an almighty God, the one who has created us, can. Restores us to default setting and sets us on course again. You are just one awesome and fantastic God. And I thank you for the message that you've placed in Peter's spirit. I ask, Lord, that he would stand here as your oracle, that you would be the minister through him. Father, that we would have receptive hearts to not just hear your word intentively, but to take that word and apply it to our life, that would bring transformational change, that we would then be the one that goes out sowing the seed. In Jesus' name we pray.
Man, what a beautiful.
Is that what? We're doing the same thing again.
Who?
Is that working?
Yeah.
What a beautiful presence. I don't know about you, but I loved what was going on then. I just, wow. Such an anointing on that song. Yeah, God, you're so good. Father, Lord, I know that in my own strength, I'm nothing, Lord. And I thank you for that. I thank you that, Lord, you can use a donkey if you want. You can use anybody, Lord. Jesus, we just love you. Father, I don't claim to be anybody, but I love you. And I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your love and your goodness, Lord. Father, I pray that you just speak to us all today, Lord. Your love, your goodness, not my words, your words. Speak to our hearts, Father, in your precious name. This morning I want to talk on the image of the heavenly man. You see, in 1 Corinthians 15:49 it says, we had the image of the man of dust, so we shall bear the image of the heavenly man. The image of the man of dust. So what does this image of the heavenly man look like? Because we're going to explore this today. But first I want to do a bit of 101 about Adam and what happened to us all when Adam and Eve fell into sin. So we get an understanding, so we can get a backdrop of who God is and what he came to do. Because there are only two kingdoms where you're drawing from in this life. Did you know that? There's only two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of hell. Well, it's not a kingdom, it's a place. There's heaven, there's hell. There's two places you're going to draw from in life. There are only two worlds we're either drawing from. One is from love, the other one's coming from fear. So you either got fear or love, and sometimes there's a mixture because God is dealing with the fear in our life, because perfect love casts out fear. So the more we fall in love with him, the more that fear starts to get cast out. Because fear is the opposite of love. So you've got two places, you're either fear or love. And that's what God is dealing with in everyone's heart, fear. Fear brings anger, brings depression, brings all sorts of stuff. But the more you fall in love with him, the more perfect love casts out fear. So one is from love and the other one is coming from fear. Everything we do in life is based from one of these two premises, love or fear. Before the fall, Adam knew nothing but love. That's what he knew. He knew nothing but love. But when Adam and Eve fell into temptation, orchestrated by Satan, they feared they were missing out. They fell into corruption, they were promised life, and they were given spiritual death when they listened to Satan. Spiritual death. They didn't know anything else, they knew love. The enemy said, oh look, you know, God's withholding from you, you can have all this. They feared they were missing out, so they did that. They stepped out and they lost everything. The consequences of this sin caused for them untold, unimaginable destruction for all mankind. If we could see why we're living the way we are today. You know, I hear people say, if God is real, then why are we going through all this stuff? Here's the reason. But he made a way out. So why is people going through all this suffering? It's not God's choice for people to remain in their rebellion, because God made a way out, but people choose to remain rebels. Then they blame God when things go wrong, even though they won't come to him. That's what we do. The blindfold. People are blindfolded. So because of what happened, there's been a blindfold over life, over humanity. People don't see that there's a way out because they're so entrenched in their fear. They were born into that, so they don't realize that there's another way. It is said that Adam was given a vision into the future to see the scope of what he caused through his fall into sin. Some theologians have said that Adam was in a cave in a deep depression for quite some time after he realized what he had done. Whether that happened or not, I don't know. But it's sure a huge weight to carry, a huge burden. How would you be? You had everything, and then God shows you a scope of what's happened to humanity, where it's going to head. Brokenness, all the stuff that's going on, the murders, the rape, the pillages, all the stuff that's happening today is born out of that. That'll be a huge weight to carry. So when we live by Adam's lifestyle, we also carry heavy weight and the heavy burden of sin that weighs us down. We also carry that when we want to choose to live that way. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, "For as in Adam, all die. Even so in Christ, all shall be made alive." So in Adam, we all die, but even in Christ, we'll all be made alive. And all of this is accepting him, because people say, "Oh, if he's real, why this, why that? But I don't want nothing to do with him." Of course you're still going to stay in that. It's Jesus. It's having him in your heart to transform you, bring you back to who you were meant to be in the first place. Jesus restored what Adam lost. He became the second Adam. You see, Jesus said in John 6:38, "If I've come down from heaven to do the will of my Father who sent me." He came down from heaven. So we can see this God, the Son, came from heaven in the first place. Jesus made a way back where there was no way. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." So reading this with an understanding that Jesus is God the Son, which the Bible again makes clear in John 1:14, that Jesus is this Word that was made flesh. Therefore, reading it from that context, in the beginning was Jesus. In the beginning. He's making a way back. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and all things were made through Jesus, and without Jesus nothing was made. So we need to understand, we need to come back to him. And the Word Jesus was made flesh, John 1:14 says. The Word Jesus was made flesh, and he dwelt amongst us. Jesus is this Word made flesh. Colossians 1:15-17 says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He's the image. He's the image we need in our heart. We need Christ living in us, hope of glory, the Word of God living in us. You want to get changed? It's all right to say, "I'm Christian, I believe," but you need that Word in you. You need that Word to transform your life. Otherwise, we'll just walk around in darkness. We won't know. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Jesus and for Jesus, and Jesus is before all things, and in Jesus all things consist. Now it says him, but I'll put the Word Jesus in there because that's who he's talking about. So he was there from the beginning. He's the creator, the Word made flesh. In the beginning, what's it say in Genesis? In the beginning, God created. He spoke a word. That was who Jesus is, the Word made flesh. He spoke that word out. So how do we get to know this Word that was made flesh? The Bible speaks so clearly about how do we do this? Do we just put the Bible on our bookshelf? Put it there and say, "I've got a Bible." So? It doesn't mean anything. Do we just read the Bible like a book and hope it'll change us? You know, the Bible's a love letter to his people. When you fall in relationship with him, the Bible becomes alive. See, the Bible also says the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So what does that mean? What does that mean? The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. It means when you've surrendered to Jesus, when you've surrendered, say, Jesus, I can't do this in my own strength. Finally, you give up. When you surrender, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside you. And Jesus, the Word made flesh, is no longer a dead letter from a boring book. Instead, it's a living and active, exciting word that transforms you. And I know about that dead letter because years ago I was in motels. I'd pick up that Gideon's Bible in the thing and look at it and think, this is boring. It doesn't make any sense. It's mumbo jumbo. Of course it was, because I didn't have the Spirit of God living inside me to activate and bring alive my spirit so I could understand what was being said. Because the Holy Spirit is now working and active in your spirit. Once you've accepted Jesus, you are now communicating spirit to spirit. The Bible says His Spirit testifies with my spirit that I'm a child of God. So when you have Him inside, living in, the Holy Spirit living in, because your body's His temple, the Word becomes alive, He starts to transform, you've given Him something to work with. So firstly, if we don't take a step of trust and faith, then how can this Word possibly transform us? If we don't step out, you hear people saying, prove you're God. You know, it's like when people say to me, if your God is real, then prove it. They don't say this because they want to find Him. They say this because they're still in darkness and they think we're deceived. Secondly, the natural man cannot hear the things of the Spirit because they are spiritually discerned. So people that don't have Christ living in them can't hear a word you're saying. They can't understand. They can't hear it. It's like me reading that book in a motel one day. Had no clue. It was just a dead book. It was boring. It's like these Christians are nuts because I didn't have the Spirit of God living in me. I hadn't surrendered to Christ. I never understood that. I never understood what born again meant. And all it means is surrender. Jesus, come in my life. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says exactly this. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. So without having Christ living in you, you'll never understand what that's about. People who ask you to prove you're God to them have been sitting in the devil's counseling session. Instead of looking for him themselves, and then they laugh at you because they're a prisoner to all sorts of stuff, directly caused by Adam's sin nature. But you're not, you're free, because you have Christ, the hope of glory, living in you. So without the Spirit of God in you, you will never hear this stuff. You'll never know what's going on. And it's not a hard thing. You see, we have to come as little children. All it is surrender. Just say, Jesus, come in my life. I surrender. I can't do this. And then all that weight, that burden, that torment that gets in your mind, that hate, that anger, all that stuff there just drops off. And you walk in freedom and joy finally. Oh, you're making sense. My life is starting to be transformed. The Bible says in John 8:36, if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. And you know how easy it is to get free of anything? I don't care whether it's drugs, alcohol, hatred, anger. I don't care what it is. If the Son sets you're free indeed. And all it takes is surrender. Once you say, Jesus, come in my life, and it's a step of faith. You see, people say, oh God, if He's real, why is all this happening? But they don't want to surrender. It also says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. When we believe, then we give the Holy Spirit something to work with. So once we believe, the Holy Spirit's living in you, so then He can start to work in your heart. Because we believe, He can then begin to transform our lives. John 6:29 says the works of God is to believe. Believe. Surrender. Believe. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, we also thank God continually because when you receive the word of God which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. The word of God is in you at work, if you believe. At what? At work in you who believe. So if you believe, of course the word of God is going to transform you. Otherwise, God's a liar. He transforms you, starts to bring you into the image of the heavenly man. If you don't believe, then how can Jesus, the Word made flesh, even begin to do the work in us? That's why we need to believe. That's what He's asking. Surrender, believe. This is why we need to be born again, born from above, born from and into the heavenly man Jesus, taking on the heavenly man's image. How do we do this? By surrendering to Jesus, the heavenly man. This, as the Bible calls him, the second Adam. And then realizing we can't do anything to change the old nature in our own strength. You see, if we try in our own power and might, all you'll do is be reformed for a season instead of being regenerated. I don't know about you guys, I've tried that stuff. I'm going to stop doing this and stop doing that, but I'm not surrendering to that. The very answer, Jesus. But the moment you do, it's when you get free. That's the craziness of it. People don't want to do that. It's a rebellion. I'm not doing it. I'm doing it my way. I'm going to try harder. Knock yourself out. Have fun. Because you're not going to go anywhere like that. I remember talking to an old work colleague from many years ago, telling me hypnotism worked for his cigarette addiction. You know, it worked for a season, but whilst he was telling me this, he was puffing away madly in a worse state than he was before he was hypnotized. And by the way, just for the record, those who don't know, hypnotism is demonic. It's not a god. So don't go down that way and think, oh yeah, I'll get hypnotized, and you know, because that's not going to do it. It's just going to make you worse. It might for a season help you, but you'll end up in a far worse state than what you started in. By giving your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence in you, and you become a whole new creation. Everything's new. A new creature with a whole set of new features. Your spirit man gets reactivated and you begin to grow into who you were meant to be in the first place. You see, this life that we live when we're stuck in stuff, it's not who we're meant to be. Freedom is in Christ. The Son sets you free indeed. And all it is surrender to Him. Surrender. Jesus, I need you. I need your help. I can't do this. His power is made strength perfect in your weakness. The things that you were weak in become your strengths. Joshua 1:8, but you need to meditate on the Word of God. Joshua 1:8 says, meditate on the Word of God day and night, for then you'll make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. And you know, I've told you before, for example, years ago, nearly lost my mind, yeah, from the drugs. So the one scripture I quoted verbatim, might say religiously, was, God did not give me a spirit of fear, a spirit of power, but He gave me a spirit of power, a loving heart and a sound mind. And I quoted that and quoted that and quoted that and quoted that and quoted that. And you know what? It became a part of me. It came alive, living and active. The Holy Spirit had something to work with, and He transformed my mind, transformed my heart, transformed everything. The Word of God is important, but the Spirit of God needs to be able to be in there to actually bring it alive. Isaiah 57 says, for the Lord God will help me, therefore I'll not be disgraced. Therefore I've set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. You need eyes like flint on Jesus. Jesus, the Word made flesh. Eyes like flint. Don't take your eyes off, because the enemy's going to try and drag you over here, drag you over there, look at this, look at that. Eyes like flint, focused on Christ. You do that, everything else, all the things you're struggling with will drop away. All the blessings He wants to give you, He'll give you. He'll transform everything for you. This Word made flesh is living and active. This Word, when applied to your life, penetrates the dividing soul and spirit. This Word judges the thoughts and attitudes of your heart, as it tells us in Hebrews 4:12. So when you give your heart to Him, the Holy Spirit is living and active. Christ is living and active in you. He starts to transform everything. And you know, some people get fearful, thinking, what does it mean? What if I leave this lifestyle that's destroying you, by the way, what is it going to look like if I change? I'll tell you what it'll look like. Joy, bliss, peace, bliss going in, bliss going out. Exciting, adventure. That's what it looks like. I've had 23 years of this now. Sometimes I just bore my eyes out and say, God, why did you choose me? The drug addict, the drug trafficker, doing the stuff I was doing, but I was called, and when I come to Him, I bore my eyes out, like, God, this stuff's real, you're real. And He just started to change everything, change my heart. I used to drop all the F-bombs, the whole lot. It all went. It's like, what happened? I can't do that anymore, because the old man was dead. Adam died. Adam's dead, finished. 2 Corinthians 3:2-3 says this, you yourselves are our letter written on our hearts, known and read by everyone, You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. That's what the Word of God does. Tablets of human hearts. He gets inside and he changes everything. And he does it. I love you, my son, my daughter. I want to transform everything about you. I want to give you hope, life, future. We are his living epistle. His word is engraved on our hearts. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. So his authorship is engraved on our hearts when we let him in. And he's the finisher of it. This word has not been written on stone, it's been written on our hearts. Once we let him in. You've heard me say often, which I was just talking about, when I was first born again, I knew I needed changes in multiple areas of my life. I would quote, meditate on, and pray to God about Scripture until it became a part of me. The Word of God is important. I hear people say, yeah, I'm a Christian. What's the Word? I don't read the Word. And now I'm not saying people aren't saved that don't do that. I'm not even going to go there because it's not, none of my business. I believe once you've accepted Christ in your life, you're saved. It's just that, do you want to live a life of hell here? Or a life of joy, excitement, and peace? So I would quote, meditate, and pray to God about Scripture until it became a part of me, until it transformed my thinking, until it renewed my mind and the Word of God became living and active, and it was engraved on my heart, so much so that my very biggest prisons became my greatest victories. My very biggest prisons became my greatest victories. The ones that you thought would never change, that's where God delights to actually change and transform. So you walk around in strength because his strength is made perfect in your weakness. All he wanted me to do was surrender. When we don't surrender, we remain a prisoner to the things of this fallen world, and we still have the broken record of Adam's original fall in the garden being played over and over in our heads. Adam's dead. The first Adam lost our inheritance. He's lost it for us. Ever since, creation has fallen into all sorts of depravity. But the message this morning is not about the fall, it's about coming home, back into God's family. You see, Jesus made a way where there was no way. Jesus became the second Adam. Just as we had the image of the man of dust, so now we shall bear the image of the heavenly man. It's so important to get that word living and active in you. If not, sure, we'll be born again. The Holy Spirit will be living in us. But there'll be no food to feed your spirit. Just like a plant needs water without it, which is what Lynn was talking about, it will eventually die. All sorts of weeds will grow up and choke the very born-again spirit-filled life out of you. Doesn't mean you're not saved. It just means you're going to live a life of hell here when you don't need to. Just as a plant needs the water to grow, so does your new activated, regenerated spirit need the Word of God in you for in order for it to grow you. You need the Word of God in you. What you focus on is what you grow into. Eyes like flint to Christ. Jesus, eyes like flint. Jesus, what are you doing? Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I want to get in your presence. The more you do, the more he starts to become real, the more you start to just, everything just becomes so easy. Such peace. I'm not saying we walk an easy life too. I'm just talking about the situations you go through. So this living and active word becomes alive in us. This word that becomes flesh, Jesus, that became flesh, Jesus, into our hearts. Surrender to him. Surrender. Cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Cast it all on him. Sometimes we have to do that even like a prophetic statement. Lord, I give it all to you. I can't take this because I've done that. I give it all to you. Because we carry that baggage and we think we can handle it. No, we can't. Jesus is waiting there. When you give it to me, it's done. I give it to you. The biggest struggle humanity faces when called by God is the ability to surrender. We're all born rebels, all of us, because of the fall. So to trust God when we're so used to doing things in our own strength, it's not easy. And so we stay in our misery, secretly trying to do things ourselves, confessing Jesus with our mouths, but secretly believing something else. I've done these things. Oh, Jesus, I believe you, but I'm hanging on to this. Oh, yeah, have fun. Finally let it go. Again, joy, peace. You know, Jesus, another thing, Jesus was not a social worker. So many people get confused and they don't know the difference between, oh, a nice person, nice social worker. That's not Jesus. Jesus was not a social worker. He's the creator of everything. He was about his father's business. Yeah, he fed the poor, looked after them, I get all that, but he did what he saw his father doing. So don't just try and do works, because it doesn't work like that. It's almost like we've forgotten the supernatural moving in Jesus, which should be natural for a born-again believer. In John 6, 18 to 21, it talks about Jesus walking on the Sea of Galilee towards the disciples' boat. He was walking supernaturally across the water. This is the Jesus we serve. Whilst they're only about halfway into the journey, and immediately when Jesus got into the boat was supernaturally transported to where they were heading. Some of the stuff we miss actually happened and still happens today. Not long after that, we see Peter walking on the water. Jesus said, greater works shall we do because they go to the Father. I listened to a lady the other day, me and Gail have been listening to, Nancy Cohen. She speaks about this Chinese boy under such great persecution in China at this time. And what he did was he used to go to villages and preach the gospel, but he used to walk across the water. Walk across it. No one told him he couldn't do that. No church mindset said, you can't do this. So this used to take place. And he was ministering to people everywhere. The book of John talks about Jesus going up to the Feast of Tabernacles secretly instead of publicly because the Pharisees wanted to kill Jesus. So can you imagine Jesus hiding behind buildings and trees, going secretly, hoping no one spots him? You know, I don't think so. I don't think it happened like that at all. I think he was transported into the temple where he taught. Then the Pharisees tried to take him, but no one could lay a hand on him because his time had not yet come. Then again, in the same book of John, we see Jesus telling the Pharisees that he is God. He's saying that before Abraham was born, I am. They wanted to kill him. They took up stones to throw at him. They again tried to kill him, but Jesus hid himself again and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passing by them. Supernaturally, they couldn't even see him passing through them. He didn't just, casually walk through and you're not touching me. He just went straight through. They couldn't even see him go through. We miss this stuff. Friends, this is the God we serve. He's not a social worker, he's God. If anyone wants to stay in their misery, their depression, their anger, then you keep seeking Adam. Keep seeking him, because that's where you'll stay. I'm staying with Jesus, the second Adam, who took away all of my sin and paid when he paid for my sin on his cross. Jesus says in Matthew 11, 28, 30, come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden. This is what I'm talking about. Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Rest. Rest in him. Stop trying to do it our own way. You see, the problem is we still look to Adam for help, but Adam's dead. D-E-A-D. He's dead. The old diseases and sicknesses of addictions died with Adam. Did you know that? Did you hear me? I said the old diseases and sicknesses of addictions died with Adam. They died. So we don't have to carry that and say, oh, you know, I've got a sickness, I've got a disease. It's dead. Don't listen to Adam. Don't try to bring your baggage into the new life. You're a new creation. Behold, all things have passed away. All things have become new. All things have become new. Don't go to the lost for answers because they don't know or understand. All they'll do is give you Adam repackaged. Come today, surrender. Surrender your hearts. Do business with Jesus. Tell him you surrender. Tell him. It's so easy. Surrender. Otherwise, we're just going to walk around the same pain, the same stuff. We're going to listen to Adam. We're going to listen to the world. They're going to tell you stuff that they don't have a clue about because they can't even hear what's going on with God anyway. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Friends, let's not hold back today. Open the door of your heart. Seriously, open the door. It's that easy. Just surrender. I've got a response song. It's called I Surrender.